Hi, everybody. This is Dave the SEO here, and this is the Dave the SEO podcast. And today we're going to be talking about how it's actually SEOs who need to be pushing the companies we're working for, particularly e-commerce companies we're working for, to be ready for agentic commerce and make sure that come 2027, when McKinsey are predicting there'll be $3 to $5 trillion worth of purchases going through agentic commerce globally, that the companies we're working with are getting a big chunk of that by being first movers now. So it's now a few days before Christmas 2025. So it'd be interesting if we could look in a crystal ball and see what Christmas 2027, what we're actually going to be talking about, what we're going to be looking at. But my guess is that come Christmas 2027, that's going to be the Christmas that agentic commerce will really just be a standard thing at that point for people to use to find the best deals, to find gift ideas, to make the whole Christmas shopping process a lot easier. Now, I'm someone who really enjoys going out Christmas shopping and going to stores, but inevitably I have to end up doing some stuff online, and there's always some people I'm struggling to get ideas for. So I can definitely see myself really relying and leaning into agentic commerce. And the kind of number I would mention is, you know, we're talking about this kind of $3 to $5 trillion worth of purchases worldwide. And if every company like OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, if they're charging 1 to 2% fees on every customer they bring, then we are talking about billions of dollars that they are going to be making. So if anyone's kind of worried right now, where they've invested in OpenAI and other companies and how that they're actually ever going to return a profit, this is how they're going to return a profit. And you know, I think we're not far off this really becoming a massive fight between these leading AI companies to be the go-to for when you have shopping to do, and to have these things integrated more and more into things like your smart speakers, into your other smart devices, to make things as easy as possible for you. So today we're going to be talking about what SEOs can do to make sure that come Christmas 2027, we are working for companies, clients who are, you know, not just taking a chunk, but also still in business. Because I think there's a threat here to companies who are too slow. But there's an opportunity right now to be a first mover. Now, looking back, we have been in similar situations in the past. Often it has ended up being the SEOs who are the one who've pushed things. So if we think back to when mobile friendly websites first became a thing, and we started realizing people actually wanted to buy with their phones, there was certainly some people at that point saying no one's ever going to buy something through their phone. But then once upon a time, there's people saying people are never going to buy things through the internet in the first place. And there's probably plenty of us who said at the time, like, oh, no, I don't think I'm going to be buying stuff through my phone. It's much easier to wait and do it when I'm on a desktop machine. But most of us, you know, have proven ourselves wrong and, you know, now buy on mobile phones without even really thinking about it. And this will be the same here. So you can tell yourself that you're never actually going to buy through AI. You're never going to trust AI, but I think you will. So we've been here before, and it was SEOs who had to push companies, particularly e-commerce companies, to say, yeah, you need a site that will actually render on people's mobiles, that, you know, can actually be used and looks trustworthy on mobile. And there's plenty of companies out there who got behind and were late doing that. You know, the likes of, you know, companies who are now out of business who were too slow, either with mobile or before that, just getting into e-commerce in general. So companies like Toys R Us and Best Buy, who could have, you know, used their advantage to really dominate their areas, but instead they let Amazon come along and overtake them by being slow to set up e-commerce sites to make sure they got a mobile-friendly experience. And of course, mobile-friendliness wasn't just about SEO, of course, but it was still the SEOs pushing it from an SEO perspective, but also, as is often the case, from a user experience point of view. You know, because we care about what actually happens once we get people onto the site as well. So it's not enough just to have a site that can be crawled and indexed. It has to be usable. And we're in a similar situation again. I think it's us SEOs who are going to end up pushing to get things rolled out in time and be the first movers and take advantage. The challenge, though, is what to do now. Now, if we move too fast, you know, to agentic commerce, we could potentially waste a lot of effort signing up for the wrong protocols. Or at least that's how some people seem to see it. I disagree, but that's how a lot of people are thinking right now. People may be looking at Model Context Protocol, which had a lot of promise when it came out a year or so ago, and it hasn't quite met all of that promise yet. I think it still might do. But what I would say is, yes, Agentic Commerce Protocol as it is now might not be the final version. It might get overtaken by something like A2P, which Google have developed and released now. Or, you know, other protocols may come out in the future. But that doesn't mean we should just wait, because there'll always be something new and you'll always be waiting. In the same way that there's always something new within SEO in general, there's always something else we have to optimize. That doesn't mean, you know, you will just wait until SEO's rolled out and we know exactly what the ranking algorithm is going to be doing forever. That's not how it works in reality. So we need to get started now and then just always updating and always staying ahead. But as we're going to talk about, a lot of what you need to do to get set up on ACP is also going to be what you need to do to get set up on A2P and other protocols in the future. To give you a little bit more about information about what I'm talking about, in case you haven't heard of these protocols before. So ACP is what OpenAI have come up with to basically allow their instant checkout solution to work with people's websites. And they have designed it to be quick and easy to roll out using this protocol. It uses existing APIs where they exist. They've partnered with the likes of Shopify. So if you've got a Shopify site, you're set up and ready to use this immediately. If not, then it's actually relatively easy to get set up for most kind of standard platforms. Now, Google have come out in September with A2P, and A2P is designed to just completely rethink how e-commerce transactions are handled, and it is designed to be, you know, for an agent first future. It deals with a lot of the security concerns around allowing agents to basically spend money on your behalf, and maybe that will be the one that will win out in the long term. But the main differences are around the way the payments themselves are actually done. So getting yourself rolled out on ACP now, a lot of what you're going to be doing will then, with not that much having to change, will then be applicable to getting set up on Google's A2P, which will probably be what you'll need to do for when Google roll out their answer to instant checkout on Gemini and elsewhere on their properties. And it may be that the likes of Anthropic might decide to also use those. Amazon is also backing A2P We don't know exactly what Amazon will do in terms of their kind of AI commerce offering. Will you have to be selling through Amazon to use that? Will they find deals from other websites if they're better, but just charge a fee? Remains to be seen, but we want to be ready to jump on the opportunities as they come along. So, what do we need to do right now, though, on instant checkout to be visible, to be purchasable? Because once we start selling on instant checkout, even if initially it's a very small amount of traffic, we can see what's working, we can see what's not working. Then when it really starts to take off, maybe it's next Christmas, we really start to see significant numbers of people using it. But we've got some data from the previous 9 months, let's say. And so we're going to be way ahead of anybody who's launching because they suddenly realize, like, oh, actually, this is a big thing. As I mentioned, that 1% to 2% commission is maybe what we're going to, you know, be looking at. Maybe initially when we've got OpenAI and Anthropic and Google and Amazon all competing to win share, those commissions are going to stay pretty low. Maybe they'll go up a little bit in the future, especially if somebody wins out. But yeah, we're talking about like between 30 and 100 billion a year that they can, you know, potentially make just in those fees, just by 2027. Obviously, that's going to increase even more in the future. So yeah, OpenAI have definitely stolen the march here. You know, others aren't far behind. And it's not just the kind of AI giants that you're maybe kind of thinking of looking at this market. Visa are working on an app for buying, finding products, buying through Visa. And they're also working on new card technology that's going to be more AI friendly and uses tokenization rather than a traditional card numbers to be much more secure and make sure that the AI agent that's trying to use your card details is really authorized to use your card details. So I think if you're a consumer, first of all, I think the competition between these different AI tools is going to be good news. I think, you know, the fact that you potentially can find the best deal much more quickly and literally be looking at everyone, not just those who have a Google shopping feed and are paying Google. So for consumers, I think this is generally good news. The problem is going to be that for the actual retailers, you're going to have to compete either on price or have some really significant USPs to your products and services. So in terms of what this is going to mean for margins for retailers, you're potentially going to see those reduced. Mind you, if you're currently, you know, running very competitive kind of keywords in paid search or, you know, big SEO campaigns where you're having to spend a lot of money on this and instead you're paying a couple of percent commission, you still need to do optimization, but you're still, you know, paying a couple of percent commission, potentially you're saving on your marketing costs. You're cutting out some steps. You know, we'll start to see whether people do just go for the cheapest prices though, or whether it's a mixture of price and features or price and features and brands they trust. My guess would be initially when people are using instant checkout, they're going to be going to brands that they've heard of. If ChatGPT comes back with a great deal from a retailer they've heard of, or directly from the brand making the product which they've heard of, then they're much more likely to trust it to go through and actually just make that purchase for them without checking in more detail themselves or going and just making the purchase themselves. But over time, let's see if that changes, and maybe it will just be so focused on price. But then again, you know, the fact you can say, I want this feature, I want this feature, I want this color, I want one that looks exactly like this person is wearing in this film, then actually maybe the opportunity to add more choice and add more versions to your range of products, more colors, more sizes, etc., is actually where the value is going to be added. But initially, if you are the only person in your market or selling the products you're selling who is on instant checkout, then you don't have to compete on price too much. I mean, people might know, like, wow, that sounds incredibly expensive. But at the same time, maybe people are thinking, like, oh, well, you know, I know that ChatGPT's gone and found the best price it can. But obviously, that's only going to be the best price from the feeds of products it has available at that point. So actually, you could maybe make some decent profits, you know, for the time being, by being a first mover. So that's one of the reasons to try and get in there nice and early. Now, as I mentioned, optimizing fees is going to be vital. It's not just be there and have, you know, the best price. You need to make sure that you're coming up. So you need to optimize for how people are searching, or for how the AI tools are searching within the feeds available to them. But it's also, you know, optimizing for those features, for the USPs, for things like use cases for your products. So I think optimization is definitely a job for us SEOs. I think, you know, you'll have some companies where there's people who are very good at optimizing Google Shopping feeds, but I think that's a undervalued art. And I think there's a lot of retailers out there who never have put enough effort into optimizing their Google Shopping feeds and just have a copy of what's on their site. So what I think is going to happen is a massive decoupling here, because it's not going to be you optimize what's on the front end of your website and then that just goes into the feed, and that's going to be, you know, also, you know, good for optimizing for agentic commerce. I think the content, the details that go into your feed are going to have some significant differences to what's actually visible on the site, because it's being optimized for the likes of ChatGPT. So that's going to be a really big job. Now, there's some fields within that which are required, 17 required, 18 recommended for instant checkout on their feed spec. But there's currently a further 33 potential fields that you can fill out. Now, some of those just won't be relevant to your products, but you'd fill out every one you can. And within the fields, there's some that are, you know, directly comparable to what your competition are doing. So things like color, size, and so on. But then there's other ones which you can really optimize. So things like the main description, really optimize and add as much detail in as you can while keeping it relevant. Where I think people are a little bit more scared to progress right now, because people know how to make a feed. A lot of sites are going to be set up that way. Then where people get a bit more concerned is when it comes to the checkout process. I'm not just talking about the actual payment part of the checkout. I'm talking about agentic checkouts in general. So let's say ChatGPT has found somebody from the feed. They have found a product that meets specifications. The first thing that ChatGPT wants to do is make sure that product is still available. Your feeds will need to be updated almost in real time, but there's still a chance that, you know, between that feed being fetched, the information being processed, and somebody actually making a decision on the thing they want to then go ahead and buy, that information is going to change. So you want to make sure that it's nice and easy for ChatGPT and others in the future to come and check that that product's still available. And this is the first point where your REST API is going to be needed. So you're going to need to have an API that can do certain functions. Also have web hooks for push notifications to update ChatGPT. And so there's a number of post and get functions that need to work on that REST API, which will be accessed using Agentic Commerce Protocol by ChatGPT. And that's going to start with, you know, checking things like, is there stock still available? Actually adding that product to the cart so then it's saved if that is still available. Being able to then, you know, progress through the checkout. So create a basket, add to basket, adjust items in the basket, be able to get back information on price, including any taxes, any discounts, being able to potentially add a discount code, log into somebody's account, apply somebody's kind of, you know, loyalty discounts. All these kind of things potentially need to be able to be done through that API. And of course, all those things are things that are happening between the back end of your site and the front end of your site. When a user is coming to the front end of your website, is still using a database, using an API to be able to do that. So hopefully you can get that working quite easily. And so some websites, that, like I say, Shopify is very easy. Other websites, it's going to be reasonably easy. You know, if you're working with something like Magento, there's already plugins being worked on by third parties that you can get. to get through to the point where if somebody was working through the front end of your website, it's the point where they actually click buy and go through the final payment process. Now, that payment processing is where it gets more complicated because of the security that's needed. And right now, if you're working with instant checkout, then you will need to be using an approved payment partner. Now, ACP is open source, so in theory, anybody can get set up and run as a payment provider using ACP. But the reality is right now, Stripe and PayPal are the ones you're going to want to use to handle that. And the way these work is basically they will handle the whole payment process. So nothing needs to go at that point through your API, which makes it a lot easier. None of the mandates or anything need to go through your website, which also takes some of the pressure off of you when it comes to worrying about security and worrying about fraudulent orders and so on, because that should be checked by those services. A2P, Google's solution, takes a slightly different approach to payments, but the reality is that if you use a digital wallet service or something like PayPal payment service where everything happens right now, it basically you would as a user be sent to a separate window on a separate domain to handle the payment, and then basically PayPal tells your system as a retailer that it got the payment and then it gets the payment back to you. So PayPal or Stripe work in that way. Now PayPal supports ACP, but it's also supporting A2P. So if you don't currently use PayPal, you can potentially get set up on PayPal so that you'll be fine with Google. If you're, you know, if you already accept Google Pay though, then again that will work in a similar way with Google. So you may need a couple of different payment providers to cover different agentic AI agents. But that's going to be the easiest way to get things set up. Now, in theory, with A2P, you can handle all the kind of mandates and everything through your own API, through your own website. But that's potentially going to be more complex. And you might save a couple of percent doing that, so it might be worth the investment. But if you want to kind of find out the best things to do now to make sure you can get on agentic commerce straight away, is make sure you're working with Stripe, PayPal, Google Pay, etc. And then once you've got everything set up, then it really comes down to optimization, just constant ongoing optimization of your feed. Like I say, this is going to be something I think SEOs are going to be best at, because it's not that different to optimizing a web page. It's putting the right terms that people are looking for in there. It's putting yourself into the shoes of the end user, the actual purchaser, and thinking about their intent and thinking about, okay, well, what are the things that are going to be important to them? Doing research to find out what are they asking ChatGPT and others for? What are the product features that are most important? And I'm sure in future we're going to see more and more fields, that are maybe specific to particular product types. And again, some of these are going to be directly comparable. So it might be things like a field for entering any awards that the product has won. As well as more kind of general fields like, you know, descriptions of features and so on. And maybe kind of separate FAQs. Sections, for example, or how to use sections within the feed. But as well as optimizing the feed, I think there's going to be the, you know, more off-page optimization as well. And it's not building links. It's about getting the coverage your brand needs, your product needs offline to get recommended. You know, one of the main advantages of shopping online when around the time that a lot of people were shopping online for the first time was when ratings and reviews were really taking off. So rather than buying something in a shop where you can maybe only ask the shop assistant, who's probably going to say that, you know, the most expensive product's the one you should buy, you know, you could read user-generated content online to find out what's the best option for you. And that's one of the reasons why people maybe started buying online. But then that all went downhill when people realized that that's one of the main things that made people choose products and started gaming the system, you know, to the point now where actually maybe ratings and reviews aren't what we trust anymore. And we go back to maybe reading reviews by more professional reviewers. And so you need to optimize everywhere online. You need to own the conversation about your product, about your brands, and make sure that you have the right people saying the right things in the right places to get picked up, and so that the overall point of view on your products, on your brand, is not just that it's good, but, you know, what matters? Is it quality good? Is the price good? Again, it's things like, how are people using it? You want those more complex, detailed reviews, you know, of somebody in a particular situation using your product, solving a problem, to help, again, the AI understand that, okay, you say this product's great for, you know, DIY projects. Oh, but there's actually somebody online who's used it for a DIY project and created a video about it or created a review about it. I think that's going to be vital as well. And again, something that you can start on now, and it's going to obviously have a positive impact overall for what you're already doing and for your SEO already. I think looking a little bit further ahead before I finish, just looking a little bit further ahead, like medium term, I don't think there's any point looking long term because things are moving so quickly. You know, we do need to accept that ACP will develop, the feed specs will develop. There might be extra kind of steps that come in to improve security. A2P is going to be a step forward in security as well. Maybe people will trust Google more and other platforms that use A2P more because it is more secure, and maybe they're the ones that will win out. We'll have to wait and see. There's also agent to agent coming. It's difficult to prepare for this now, but it's something to start think about. Agent-to-agent protocol will allow a user's agent, ChatGPT, a Gemini, etc. It will allow it to talk directly to a retailer's agent. So your employer, your client may need to have its own agent who can then negotiate a sale on your behalf. And that could be simple thing like answering some additional questions or just processing some basic information. But it could also be things like negotiating. So negotiating discounts, negotiating like a bundle package, etc. And I think that will particularly lend itself to B2B sales, where it might be that actually, you know, somebody wants to buy, you know, 100 pallets worth of something and wants a better rate than, you know, what's within the feed based on buying one pallet's worth. So this stuff, you know, is going to come along fairly quickly. So definitely one to keep an eye on and make sure that at the moment where you can get set up with that, and there is something, there is a spec to work to, an initial kind of spec, even if it's just in beta, you start working on that and get the first mover advantage there as well. Thank you very much for listening. The main sources I used for this podcast are actually in the article that it's based off of on my website. But the main one is from McKinsey's website, and their very long, detailed article, piece of research, is called The Agentic Commerce Opportunity, How AI Agents Are Ushering in a New Era for Consumers and Merchants. If you want to search for that one, it's a long read, but absolutely fascinating. Thanks very much for listening, everyone, and Merry Christmas, and speak to you next year.